Well, it's good to be with you again.
My thought.
Oh, I need to turn some on.
Tom, we need to open.
There we go.
Is that better?
It will be.
I wish the circumstances were different. And I just pray for your pastor that he'll be in the saddle again soon. Welcome from us, from our family in Indianapolis. Several have asked. My wife is not able to be here because her mother is living in our home and broke her pelvis not long ago. So we're staying pretty close to home. But when Adam called and asked me, I thought of right away of this message that God, I believe, prepared and is preparing over the last 40 years in my life and in His Word through me. Let's turn together to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus 4. This is one of three readings we'll do. Exodus 4. Lessons from the sufferings of the disabled. Exodus chapter 4. We'll read just a few verses here. Exodus 4, verses 10 through 12. But Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, either in past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I'm slow of speech and of tongue. Then the Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. Amen. Martin Luther, about this passage, said, It is the duty of every Christian to be Christ to his neighbor, to bring peace, comfort to people in pain. After 15 years of school teaching in Indianapolis school, I knew very little about that topic. And now so particularly about loving and reaching out to disabled adults. But suddenly God gave me a crash course in learning about this that continues to this day. I suddenly was given a class of 15 educably mentally retarded people. That was the term used then. Now we probably use disabled. But it was popular at that time. It's probably changed two or three times since then. EMR, we called that class. And I was suddenly in charge of that group of young people. And I had a lot to learn. But at the same time, in my ministry in the life of the church, there were several disabled people that came into that group too. And I realized that God was teaching me something. Not only teaching me in terms of practical things, but also I began to study His Word and look and see what I could learn from God about helping, loving, ministering, teaching, and training up these particularly wonderful individuals that I had. Little did I know that I would discover a whole lot more years later when God put two disabled people, my first and third son, in our home. And then later, 10 years ago, God really led me into a major ministry in our community to adults with disabilities. So that's tempered my insights and my study of the Word all these years. There are several Bible characters who I believe are classified in this category of disabled adults. And many of us here are too. Sometimes the disabilities we have are apparent. I had a friend back in younger years who was directionally challenged. She couldn't follow a map or follow directions to get from one place to another if her soul depended on it. Others of us may be colorblind, but we've let our wife pick out our tie for us all these years, and we pretty well cover it up. Others of us had more severe disabilities, some that came at birth and others that came upon us. But I would venture to say many of us would be considered disabled. I struggled with a reading problem when I was young, and it tempered my whole growing up experience because I was such a poor reader. And so we see here in the life of Moses a disability. We're not quite sure what it is. The clarity of that is spoken of by many Bible commentators, and they're not. It's some kind of a speech problem, a fluency problem. And I am drawn to this because my oldest son Brad demonstrated that when he was 3 years old. He had trouble speaking. Probably have a hard time believing that today, but he stuttered badly when he was three. I have a tape recording of him trying to recite The Night Before Christmas. It took him about 10 minutes to get through it. We were, as course parents, quite concerned and unsure on where to go. When a speech teacher came to us and told us, Brad has a problem, you need to address this. So we took it seriously. Lesson number one, which I believe comes from the life of Moses, God enables the disabled to fully serve God. God enables the disabled to fully serve God. Haley Bible Handbook says, Moses spent 40 years in Israel, 40 years in Egypt, thinking he was somebody. Then he spent 40 years with the people of Israel wander in the wilderness. Then he spent 40 years leading God's people through the wilderness, finding out that God can use a nobody. And Moses here comments on how humbled, humiliated, poor he is. Moses' disability comes out. And his real disability is his focus on himself here. That's the real disability that many of us have when it comes to disabilities. It's focusing on our problems, focusing on ourself, rather than focusing on God. Moses' speech disability, his handicap was obviously obvious. And God's final solution to him at that moment was to rely on his brother, Aaron. I'm slow of speech, slow of tongue, he says. But God says, your problem is you're relying on yourself. And I'm, who made man's mouth? Who made man's eyes? Who made you the way you are? God says. And then he brings his full attention to Yahweh God, this Lord that we see over and over again in the Bible, where God reveals really who he is and who Moses is fades away. And Moses finds some kind of transformation. God commands Moses to pay attention to God and destroy this self that is preeminent in his life. And so those of us who are disabled need to pay less attention to us and our disability and really be captured by who God is. Moses, God enabled his disability. And he went on to become the man that God wanted him to be. How did God do this? Well, first of all, I think the first step is Moses saw and heard the sovereign God creator. Moses was captivated and captured by the Yahweh God that he served. And that was the first step. He heard God speak firm, kind, and yet with expectations of Moses' service to God. The second step is Moses began trusting and obeying and walking on his weaknesses. He began to walk on his weaknesses rather than cave into them. And so we read in Hebrews 12, "For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruits of those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your dripping hands, strengthen your weak knees, make straight the paths of your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed." The second step is Moses trusted and obeyed God, and his disability melted away, and he was used wonderfully of God. I think the third step in this this process of God enabling us, even in our disability, God enabling us, is God slowly filled an empty vessel. This empty vessel that made himself available to God, God slowly filled him. How does an auto mechanic with one finger raise a car up? Well, he turns on a motor or an engine, and then the fluid begins to pour into the empty cylinder. And the car doesn't raise quickly, but the car raises slowly as that cylinder is filled with fluid. And that's what God does in the life of a person. He slowly fills that person with his Holy Spirit. And that Spirit of God begins to lead that person into greater and more important service to God over the years. And I think the fourth step we see in the life of Johnny Erickson Tada, that famous saint who was so badly quadriplegic all of her life. And yet this woman was mightily glorified God in her disability. Not by being released from her disability, but by living a Christ-centered life through her disability. And all of America at some points was amazed at the beauty, at the clarity. Certainly the special needs community understood what Johnny Erickson Tada said and did and was changed. God enables the disabled to fully serve God. Let's look at another passage, John chapter 9. John 9. As Jesus speaks to a disabled man about his disability. John 9, 1 through 7. "As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.' Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud, and he said to him, 'Go, wash in the pool of Siloam,' which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing." Jesus' commentary here is extremely supportive and important. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? That's the human fallback question, isn't it? That's the question that I asked when my third son was born, Stephen. You know, God, who sinned? And what's I was angry at God. Oh, I put a good face on it because I was at that point in pastoral training. And the first day I worried about my in-laws and I worried about the kids, my older two, Brad and Kim, who were teens and preteens. I worried about Becky. I tried to care for them. But I laid in bed the next morning and I refused to open my eyes. Because if I opened my eyes, I knew the tragedy, the reality of what I was experiencing would be real. God, why? God, why is this come upon me? You know, is there sin in my life? Are you not on the throne? You could make this difference. Who sinned? Clearly, this man had a disease from birth, a congenital disorder, a disability of that kind. And the agonizing parental question, for some a theological question, but for those of us who are parents of people with Down syndrome, it's a very, very practical question. So don't be like Job. Job chapter 38. He tries to give pat answers, and God presses him to help him to see that God is the one who gave him this disease, this pain, this disability that Job experienced. And so in my life, over these next weeks and months, I was pressed with the questions of not so much why God, as much as how God. How will you use this? How do you want to use this boy in my life? And I began to see that this was a continuing of the lesson I had learned 10, 15 years earlier about ministering, loving, reaching out, giving myself to people who were disabled. And the lesson continued. Jesus rejects the unkind, unwise condemnation of others. The sin of the Pharisees who wanted to press this question. It must be you. It must be him. Because it couldn't be God, our good, gracious God. But God takes the blame for these difficulties. God tells us here, neither this man nor his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in his life. How would God show himself beautiful and strong and important? We read it in Romans 8. We know that in everything, God works for good with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. About 10 years ago, I began to find the voice of the Lord, I guess. Michael Lefebvre told me that I should get with this friend of his who ministered to disabled and other people that same week. And I knew it was the Lord's voice when Becky said it. You know, you need to get with this guy. And so I got with him and I began to learn about disability ministry and that God was leading me to be involved with disabled adults in that way. And the Friendship Bible Study began a few months later. And I was shocked when I put the word out very gently that we were going to be talking about ministry to disabled. And we had 8 people come to the meeting. People who cared about disabled adults, just like I had grown to be caring about them. Sufferings from God are always purposeful, always for our refinement, always for our ministry to others, always for God's glory. And they're always difficult for me to see. He brings difficulty into our lives, into the lives of others, to do those things. Sometimes God brings spectacular healings. Other times, as he did with this man here, to see the glory of God. The disabled are never denied full opportunity to serve God. I learned that from my friend Charlotte Brim, who had, at age 20, been in an automobile accident. Her uncle was driving. She wound up a paraplegic and served God as a paraplegic all of her life. What a beautiful lady. What an important part of Second Reformed Presbyterian Church. She was a founding member of our church. Somebody that I had the opportunity to help until the day she died. And was there on her bedside at her deathbed. And she changed my life. She affected me because I began to understand. I said quadriplegic. She was a paraplegic. She was a beautiful woman and somebody that really ministered to help me to understand the needs and the ministry to adults with disabilities. We've learned that God enables the disabled to fully serve God. We've learned that God deals with the pain and the guilt of birth defects. But thirdly, we learn God sometimes heals our disability. But he also often continues it to show his glory and our good. And so we read of Paul, the Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 12. We see of Paul, so to keep me from being too elated by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I pled with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. And my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. God shows his person, his power, his presence through our weaknesses and in our weaknesses. And Paul is speaking of that here. Paul confesses to us the tendency to pride and self-reliance. We want to serve God in our strength. And many times, God wants us to serve him in our weakness, as Paul so eloquently tells us here. When I'm weak, Paul says, then I'm strong. We're not sure what this thorn in the flesh was that Paul had. Many believe it's his eyesight or some kind of a serious eye problem. We're not sure. But we know it deeply affected Paul. He pleaded with the Lord Jesus three times. See, we demand to walk in our strength. We demand to have children of normal ability. And that's why I didn't want to open my eyes that morning. Because God hasn't healed Stephen. But boy, I tell you, every day I see the glory of God. Every day I see the beauty of those 25 disabled adults that we minister to on Tuesday evening in Friendship Bible Study. They're truly a beautiful individuals and a beautiful group together. Because of our union with Christ, Christ strengthens and surges through them. I've been crucified with Christ, Paul said. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Power manifested through disabilities. Yes. That's how God shows who he is in the life of our disabled adults many times in such a beautiful way. Our friends, Nikki and Shami from India, were here in the congregation for several years, and Shemi came to the Friendship Bible Study early on when they first arrived here in the States. She's very fluent in English and fit in very well. And she began to attend as a helper, as a volunteer. And after about 4 months of coming, she said to me, "Rich, I'm really confused, because I came here to help these people with disabilities. But every time I come, I walk away with something more than I ever could give them." She became convinced of the beauty of people with disabilities, so much so that when they had the opportunity in India to adopt a child, they found a little boy with spina bifida, Abhi, and they adopted Abhi. It's very hard in India to live with a disability, much harder here. There are no parking spaces, there are no helps, there are no ramps, there's nothing. And so even at 12 years old, Vinky still has to carry Abhi to most places they go. But the beauty of this family, the beauty of this boy, continues to be impressive to the Indian people and to me as well. God enables the disabled to fully serve God. God deals with the guilty and the guilt and the pain of the birth defects that come into our lives. God sometimes heals our disabilities, but often continues to show the world His strength and His glory. May we pray together. Lord, thank You today for showing me a little bit about why You gave these disabilities to me, to my children, to us. We do confess that tendency towards guilt and anger, but now receive this gift of disability. I pray that You would enable me to serve You in my weakness. I pray that You would enable me to dispel my guilt and remove the pain. God, show me, Heavenly Father, how to walk and serve You, not in my own strength, but through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, how to help others to do the same. For You say, "My strength is sufficient for You. My power is made perfect in weakness. I will all the more gladly boast of my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Lord, may this be a lesson that vibrates in our lives through Jesus Christ, whom we pray. Amen.